Good morning. Michael Shelton, would you open us a word of prayer?
Heavenly Father, thank you for everyone being able to make that Sunday school this morning. I pray you bless this Sunday school hour. You give Pastor exactly what you had to say. You anoint his lips and clear his mind of anything that might be bothering him. I pray that you just speak to our hearts and feed us with food convenient for us this morning. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.
Amen. Amen. We're continuing. This will be the third lesson in Christian growth and spiritual victory. And as we look at different parts of this, today we're going to look at like three or four scripture passages and look at how the parts of that passage apply to what, if we want to know how to grow and we want to know how to have victory, we need to put this into our lives. Okay? If I was to ask you what the word abide means, how would you answer that? How would you answer that? The word literally means to walk together, come alongside. It's talking about a close relationship. You know, you ever see it sometimes, people, they forget in their marriage, in their relationships, to protect it, to help it to become stronger. And you see people, when they lose sight of that, they just go through the motions in their family. They do it out of habit, and it's not real to them. Well, that's not what God wants with us in our Christian walk. And you've got to remember that. And so I want you to turn. This is a passage we've heard Tony Saxton, when he's come, preach out of this passage 2 or 3 years in a row. Coming at it from a little bit different thing, coming to the same thing. And that's John chapter 15, where it speaks of Jesus being the vine and us being the branches. So turn to John chapter 15. And Jesus says in verse 1, I am the true vine and my Father is the husbandman. What does the husbandman do? He takes care of the vineyard. Okay, so he's trimming off the dead branches, the dead limb, he's pruning it back so it might be more fruitful. The Father is the husbandman. Every branch in me that beareth not fruit, he taketh away. And every branch that beareth fruit, he purgeth it, that it may bring forth more fruit. When he says purgeth it. You ever think about purging? You know what another name for retching your guts out is? Purging. You're purging it out. It's coming out sometimes with extreme force. You know, I when I think of this passage, you know, he that hath begun a good work in you will perform it unto the day of Jesus Christ. And sometimes our Christian walk, you love it when you're on the mountaintop and you can see clearly and everything makes sense. But when you're down in the valley and your gut is turning over and it doesn't seem like God's hearing your prayers, it seems quiet and stuff, that's a time when you know what the Lord's going to do? He's going to purge. He's going to purge you. He purges that it may bring forth more fruit. I said something to Keith this morning. I said, you know, it's like what we've learned with Judy and I, with what she's going through, that sometimes you don't sweat the small stuff the same. Now, you value the little moments, but you don't let the little foxes spoil the vine. See how it goes? Vine, husbandman, you don't let them come in and steal your fruit. Now ye are clean through the word which I have spoken unto you. Abide in me, and I in you. As a branch cannot bear fruit of itself, except it abide in the vine, no more can ye, except ye abide in me. Christians sometimes in their service get used to doing it. And all of a sudden they lose their dependency upon God, on the Holy Spirit working in their lives, and they go through the motions. And everything seems good for a time. Pastor Kenny and I have talked about it so many times. I remember with Pastor Gip talking about it. You know what you end up doing half the time? You have something that's wrong in your life, but everything's going good, you know, and you haven't dealt with this because you're living on past mercy and grace. And the cost of what is wrong in your life hasn't come to the surface yet. So then it starts to cost you. You go, oh my God, Lord, please forgive me. We confess our sins. He is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. And so we give it to him. But then it stays still kind of miserable for a length of time. And you go, but God, I've gotten right with you. Well, that has to be what? That stuff has to be purged out of you. And so you get caught in a cycle and you don't realize, and God, I'm trying to do right. How come you aren't blessing me? You're not a teenager anymore. It doesn't change the moment you change your attitude about it. Teenagers' lives become horrific in a matter of hours. And they stop doing something wrong and they want to know the next week, why aren't you letting him take the car? Because I've been doing right for a whole week. You know, we do that with our Savior and with our Heavenly Father sometimes. They that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings as eagles. They shall run and not be weary. They shall walk and not faint. Wait, I say, on the Lord. So what happens with it so many times is we don't realize what's going on because we lose sight that it's a spiritual battle. You can lose sight that it's a spiritual battle very easily. When you take your eyes and you put it on the physical outward circumstances and you're not paying attention to the spiritual battle around you and you're not spending time talking to the one who will let you know how to deal with it, and you get caught in that. But you know who never forgets that it's a spiritual battle? The adversary of your soul. You have an enemy, and he has an enormous legion, legions of legions of unclean spirits to hinder your thought process. That's why we're told in Colossians chapter 3, set your affections on things above and not things here on this earth. For your life is hid in Christ with God, right? So you have that battle taking place and we lose sight of it. And you watch. So many times I have to stop and because I'm an observer. I like to watch people. I watch you. You know, when I'm sitting up here, I look at your faces, look at your eyes, and I turn around and say, well, they had a hard time coming to church this morning. Well, the kids didn't get dressed fast enough for them. Well, things didn't go good this week because I'm a counselor. I read faces. I read body language. I read these different things, and I look at it, and you know what my Bible tells me? Man looketh on the outward appearance, but what? Looks upon your heart, where everything proceeds out of what you put your affections on. The heart, okay? Not that physical four-chambered pump in your chest, but your spiritual, emotional heart. The heart is deceitful above all things and desperately wicked. Who can know it? I, the Lord, try the reins. You see where I'm going with that? So he's looking and he wants you to produce more fruit. And you know what? I wish it could be that way, that we just would, can you be one? Okay, I got saved. Okay, I followed the Lord in baptism. I'm reading my Bible. I'm witnessing to people. I'm treating people differently. I want them to see Christ in me. And everything is going good. And that gets better. And that gets better. And that gets better. And that gets better. And it gets gooder and gooder and gooder. That's not what happens, is it? Okay, it's and we go through those things and you go, kids, why are they on such a roller coaster? You know what our Heavenly Father says? I paid your ticket. I'm protecting your ride. And I'll bring you to the expected end. Trust in me. Trust in me. Now ye are clean through the words which I have spoken unto you. Abide in me, and I in you. The branch cannot bear fruit except it abide in the vine. No more can ye except ye abide in me. I've learned, I'm getting old. I didn't learn I'm getting old. I've learned, because I'm getting old, that I have to stop and taste my words more. I have to stop and watch my reaction to make sure that I'm not reacting to the circumstances. So what I'm saying to you, guess what? If it sounds like I'm not giving you a break, as Pastor Christian used to say, one finger forward, three pointed back. Amen? You have to abide. You have to be united with your Lord to gain the victory he wants. I am the vine, ye are the husband, ye are the branches. He that abideth in me and I in him, the same bringeth forth what? Much fruit. Without me, you can do what? Why do we try so hard to do it without him? Man, I look in that mirror and I go, you're my problem. That's my problem. Because I can do all things through Christ which strengtheneth me. Then why can't I do all things? Because I'm trying to do it in whose strength? I'm trying to help you understand that. You know, my mother used to say to me, honey child, too soon old, too late smart. Don't you wish you could go back at the beginning of your adult life? You graduate high school and take what you know now back to then and change those things you could? Wouldn't it be different? You think it would. Without me, you can do nothing. If a man abide not in me, he is cast forth as a branch and is withered. And men gather them and cast them into the fire, and they are burned. That's not talking hell there, because men don't cast you into hell. It's you getting set aside. You kind of, yeah. There's times in my Christian walk, it's almost like you feel dry, right? And God says, put a little water on it, and it'll spring again. Washing of water by the word. Out of his belly shall flow rivers of living water. You know, there's some. Any of you ever had a willow tree in your yard? Never had a willow tree on your property and you turn around and it seems like that thing can grow no matter what? Well, it sucks the water up like crazy. You got a wet backyard? Plant a willow tree. Of course, you're going to draw a bunch of ants, but it'll dry it up for you because its life is in the water. You know, there's some plants you turn around, you take a cut of sapling off this thing and you stick it in the water, you add a little nutrients to it, you know, and you hold it there. You don't even have to have it in dirt. Next thing you know, it's sprouting roots so it can be transplanted. I just went to say his name and I lost it. Kevin, our friend, Paul Askew, he grew lettuce hydroponically. He grew onions. He grew these things in water. It could take root. You could take those things out, put them in the ground, they'd grow then. But they grow a lot faster when you give it the right water, you give it the right nutrients. When it said, out of his belly shall flow rivers of living water, and he says, this spake he of the Holy Ghost, which had not been given them yet. If a man abide not in me, he is cast forth as a branch. Trouble with Christians when they don't want to stay where they're supposed to and they get the eyes on the wrong things, they never really fit in the world again the same. And then they don't feel like they fit in the church anymore. Well, I don't belong there. No one loves me. Everyone hates me. Gonna eat worms and die. Dried up. World would just bury you. Herein is my Father glorified that you bear much fruits. So shall you be my disciples. As the Father hath loved me, so have I loved you. Continue in my love. If you keep my commandments and abide in my love, even as I have kept my Father's commandments and abide in His love. These things have I spoken unto you, that my joy might remain in you, and that your joy might be full. You ever watch it? I didn't pay attention until I had it happen. You know, little kids, you turn around and they go, "You don't love me. If you'd love me, you'd give. I want. If you love me, you go to spank them." No, you go to give them a biblical timeout. Okay, I got to use the right language. Okay? And they go, "You hate me. You don't love me. Oh, you don't love me. I don't love you either." Think about that. And you're disciplining the child because you love them more. Because I'm telling you, a parent that doesn't discipline their child loves themselves, wants to feel comfortable about themselves, and is not worrying about train up a child in the way he should go, and when he is old, he'll not depart from it. Because there has to be the training there. There has to be a cost, because what happens? If you don't do that, they go into the world and it eats them up. God's will in Christian growth and spiritual victory is that we all produce fruit, spiritual fruit. Now, I'm not turning to Galatians chapter 5, but the fruit of the Spirit is, what's the first one? Love, joy, peace. What's the rest? Meekness, long-suffering, go ahead. There's no law against that. So what does it tell you? If you love me, keep my... Doesn't mean God doesn't love you. When your children don't obey you, or they disobey you, or they act out, do you reward them for their bad behavior? When they do right, and they listen to you, what do? Don't you try to encourage them? You encourage good behavior and you chasten bad behavior. The Lord's a better father than we ever thought of being. He's a better husband than we ever thought of being. Okay. It tells us that the key to abiding is in verse 7. It says, "If ye abide in me and I in you, ye shall ask what ye will, and it shall be done unto you." Look at verse 10. "If ye keep my commandments, ye shall abide in my love, even as I have kept my Father's commandments and abide in his love." When they pull away far enough, they don't think they're loved anymore. You have to keep that love there for them. That's what our Savior and our Heavenly Father does for us. So, you got to abide in Christ. That means abiding in His Word, His commandments. To abide in them, can you abide with somebody when they're going in a certain direction and you say, "No, I don't want to go there"? Are you abiding with them? Or you're not going in the same direction? Can two walk together lest they be husband and wives? You're to abide with each other lest they be agreed. The one thing that's always helped Judy and I through that is that a threefold cord is not soon broken. When I look at young women becoming marrying age, I tell them, "You better check how that guy treats his mother. Because he doesn't treat his mother right, that's the thing he's practiced on." I tell young men, and sometimes it's not the child's fault either way, if the parents are that dysfunctional. But I tell them, "Does that girl respect her father? Does she trust her father? Will she listen to her father? Because if she won't, that's what they've been practicing. You got to abide in his word and abide in his love. Turn to Ephesians chapter 4. Our Heavenly Father wants to make our Christian growth and victory the norm, the way it ought to be. It ought to be just onward and upward. But when it isn't, you know what he doesn't do? He doesn't kick us out. He doesn't turn away from us. His arms are outstretched still. Ephesians 4, verse 22. That ye put off concerning the former conversation, the former manner of life, the old man which is corrupt according to deceitful lust, and be renewed in the spirit of your mind, and that ye put on who? Another place you'll find, you know what that new man is? Christ in you, the hope of glory. You're putting on Jesus Christ. Put on the new man, which after God is created in righteousness and true holiness. It's presented in this passage as a matter of, okay, growing. It's a process of putting off the old man. That's the sinful nature we inherited from Adam. And putting on the new man, which is, how many of you remember, some of you weren't there, back in the 90s, I can remember people used to have these thick bands. You can still get them. WWJD. What would do? Okay. And there's a psychological trick. I've read about it in some books and stuff. It's like this. As you're dealing with this and you get caught in a certain trend, you take that thing and you snap that band. Because it's immediate what? Oh. You got my attention. It stings a little bit. Better to have it sting a little bit there than to cost you a lot more because you didn't think about what you were doing and you didn't do it the way God would have you do it. Now, do we always do it all the way God would have us to do it? Not me. And if you're honest, not you. What would Jesus do? Well, you know, a bunch of religious people had that. They weren't even saved. So when they snap it, they have never read their Bible, but it was a neat saying. What would Jesus do? Well, Jesus walked on water. Jesus raised the dead, gave sight to the blind, healed the sick, and did all things always to please the Heavenly Father. You can snap that band all day. Are you going to do that stuff? You know what he did say? If you have the faith of the grain of a mustard seed, you shall say unto this mountain, cast in the sea. Jesus' faith and his relationship, his abiding oneness with the Heavenly Father and with the Holy Spirit was such that in his humanity, he always did all things to please him. Not my will, but thy will be done. The old man, the natural nature, the flesh, is your old man. It's your old way of doing things. If you're here this morning and you're sitting here, you're double-minded. Lost people aren't double-minded. They think like the world. In your things, you think like the world and you have the mind of Christ. You have them both. Steve Currington used to say, it's which dog you feed. Black dog, white dog. Now, he wasn't pointing the black dog being bad all the time. White dog being bad. He just says, it's which one are you going to feed? You know, I can still remember those stupid little cartoons. I'm Bugs Bunny. Yeah, I watched Bugs Bunny. I watched Looney Tunes. Yeah, I'm carnal. I used to love Roadrunner.
Maybe. Yeah.
And some of those things, it would show Tom and Jerry, and it would show the devil on one shoulder and angel on the other. Sometimes early on, Fred, it would show Jesus Christ before they changed it. And it's which one you're going to listen to. Put off the old man, put on the new man, which is created after God and created in righteousness and true holiness. And then you look at that thing. It's a process of putting it off and putting it on. You have to put it on every day, right? Put on the whole armor of God that you may be able to stand in the evil day, and having done all, stand. Because who are you fighting against? The one I told you that never stops the battle. For we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places. You got to put on that armor. You're putting on the new man. You know what putting on the new man means? Quit lying. Doesn't it? You put on the new man, it says, wherefore, putting away, old man, because the Bible tells us all men are liars. We lie to ourselves, we lie to each other. Sometimes we lie by what we say, and sometimes we lie by what we omit. Right? Putting away lying, speak every man truth with his neighbor, for we are members one of another. We're together. What is a good marriage built on? Say it louder. Trust. Faith. You try to have that until someone breaks it. Right? You have to be able to believe your spouse. When you're proven you can't, you need to get help. If they won't get help, you got to put it in God's hands and you do the truth. Because you know what? You can't change anybody else. Rule number one, men are simple, women are complicated. Any man who's honest will say, that's true. Any woman says, what do you mean complicated? You hurt my feelings. I rest my case. Second rule I give them is you can't change anybody else. You can only change yourself. God won't force you to be changed against your will. He'll give you incentive to be changed. Whom the Lord loveth, he chasteneth and scourgeth every son whom he receiveth. But you know what? I'm not a Calvinist because there's free will involved in the choice. We have so many people in this church hurt by the choices of someone else. Choose you this day whom ye will serve, whether it be the God of your fathers, they served on the other side of the flood, or the gods of the people in whose land ye dwell. But as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. So you got to put off the old man. It means stop lying. Well, I don't have to lie. Wherefore, putting away lying, speak truth. If you put off lying and you don't tell the truth, and again, you got to tell the truth in love, how you tell it sometimes makes all the difference in the world, doesn't it? Do you tell it with anger, aggression, accusation? Or you tell it with care and concern and love? Then it goes on to, be angry and sin not. Oh, come on, Lord. Do I have to deal with that? Bryant, if you don't get control of your anger, you're going to be in prison. My father, he says, you're too big. I was bigger than my father by the time I was 11 years old. I was taller than him. didn't weigh what he weighed. He said, I've had to put my temper down. And he struggled with that. And he goes, you're my son, and you're going to get in trouble. Be angry and sin not. Let not the sun go down upon your wrath. In other words, don't hang on to it. Get it right. Lost your temper? Find it. Apologize to the person you lost it at and put it where it belongs. Be ye angry and sin not. Because when you do, the fullness of that sentence is you give place to the devil. You ever notice when you're angry, you're offended? You get angry, you get offended. You know what the devil does? That's one of the biggest things he uses to attack us. It's called the sin of offense. Let all bitterness, wrath, anger, clamor, evil speaking, right? The end of this passage here. What about, lest any man fail of the grace of God, lest any root of bitterness springing up and trouble you, and thereby many be defiled? I can't control my anger. I have to give it to God. Because I control it for a while, and then all of a sudden, then I lose it. But if God's got it, I've had people spit in my face, try to throw urine at me, kick me in the shins when they came to me. That was a rough counseling session. Wife got mad, stood up, told me she hates me, kicks me in the shin and storms out of the room. Husband's sitting there and he goes, now you know what I deal with. And I said, well, maybe if you helped her more, she wouldn't get so angry. That same woman I've helped through a bunch of other problems. Not in the church. Has been in and out. But actually kicked me in the shins. People who love me today screamed at me in the parking lot years ago. You know what I didn't do? Give them back the same thing. Love them that hate you. Be kind to them that in spitefully treat you. In so doing, you shall heap coals of fire. You know what that is? That's in God's hands. I'm responsible for how I treat you. If I'm responding biblically to your anger, frustration, hurt, fear, it works out. If I react to it in my flesh, be angry and let not the sun go down upon your wrath, neither give place to the devil. That's part of Christian growth. Part of Christian growth. You stop lying. You learn to deal with anger. You stop taking that which is not yours. Let him that stole steal no more, but rather let him labor, working with his hands the thing which is good that he may have to give to him that needeth. I don't steal. Do you steal affections from your family members by not offering it? Do you steal the time that your bride needs, men? Do you steal the respect that men need, ladies? Do you steal time from your employer? I wanted to witness to everybody. I first got saved, and you know what I had to learn to do? I couldn't do it at certain times because I had a job to do. And I had to learn, God, help me to be able to do this and have a good testimony where I work because I want to see people saved. But I had to learn because starting off, I witnessed everybody, and sometimes, you know what? When the foreman's got to go looking for you, you're not doing what you ought to be doing. I had to learn that in my Christian walk. Now, if somebody's working alongside me, started praying for divine appointments, looking for a chance to say something about Jesus to them. Open the door. Maybe it's, boy, you look tired or you look discouraged this morning. Everything okay? Can I pray for you? Is you working with somebody? You don't know how often that could change things. So you don't steal. Put away corrupt speech. Let no corrupt communication proceed out of your mouth, but that which is good to the use of edifying, that it may minister grace to the hearers. I was raised in the home of a World War II Marine. Sometimes that language would pass age-related barriers. While I was in college, I worked with immigrants, farm workers, people who came into the country. They didn't know many words in English. But you know, normally when they don't, if their heart isn't given to Jesus, you know what language they learn? Do you ever notice there's a part of culture that makes the F word acceptable in everything today? When it's not? And then I went to work in industry with mechanics, millwrights, other electricians. Men will just be men. It's just the way men talk to each other. No, it's not. I had to learn not to. One man was like another father to me. Others were friends, and I had to learn not to. I got to the place. I asked God, how do I deal with that? Do you know I have friends that aren't in this church that I didn't hammer them? I'd witness to them, give them the gospel. Found out one of them saved, hasn't been going with the Lord a long time, hasn't been alongside him, used to have bad mouth. Mouth changed. Did I say every time he said a curse word or a no. I just never spoke in those terms. And pretty soon, some of his unsaved friends came along, and he'd stop talking that way around me, and he'd look at him and go, show some respect. He doesn't talk that way. That's a pastor. You didn't know that. What's a pastor? Another sinner who got saved and serving God in the way he called him. You know what we all are? Sinners who get saved and are supposed to serve God in the way he called us. All right? Nothing special with that. And he'd go, have some respect for him. And the guy turned around. I had a chance to witness the guy because he says, why? And I said, because I don't take my Savior's name in vain. But sometimes when I get really angry and I start to react instead of responding biblically, you ever had that temptation? Let no corrupt communication proceed out of your mouth, but that which is good to the use of, verse 29, edifying, that it may minister grace to the hearers. So what you say is supposed to give unmerited favor to the person hearing your words. So even if you have to deal with something that's wrong in their lives, you compliment or you deal with and make them feel at ease with you. You want your kids to respond to discipline? Show them what they're doing right and say you acknowledge that, and then correct what's wrong. Minister grace to the hearers. You know what's tied to that? When you quit lying, you quit stealing, you quit talking the wrong way, it says you won't grieve the Holy Spirit anymore. And grieve not the Holy Spirit of God, whereby ye are sealed, because God never throws us away. O love that will not let me go, I rest my weary soul in thee. You see that? We're sealed to the day of redemption. So you're supposed to build each other up with what you say. To stop lying involves trying to be and learning to be honest in every situation. Let no corrupt communication proceed out of your mouth. You're sealed in the day of redemption. Let all what? Bitterness and wrath and anger and clamor and evil speaking be put away from you with all malice. And be ye kind. one to the other, tenderhearted, forgiving one another, even as God for Christ's sake hath forgiven you. You know what I find them when I learn to forgive people? It's much easier to be nice to them. Instead of looking how they've offended me, all bitterness, anger, wrath, evil speaking, I look and say, Lord, how can I minister to them? How can I show Christ to them? Lord, help me, because I want to beat them. Maybe you ladies don't have that same visceral response, but even the nicest of men get to a point and they get just so fire in their flesh, and they have to quell it down. You have to put it down, or otherwise what's going to happen? Let all bitterness, wrath, anger, clamor, and see how the bitterness, wrath, anger, and the clamor. Clamor is like you're peeping, you know, it's always in the, those peepers in the woods. Meep, 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 meep. Oh, I love to camp in the woods. It's so quiet. Unless you got them near you. Meep, 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 meep. Go out the door, pull the trigger, gets real quiet. No. You know how it goes? That's what clamor is. And then it says evil speaking. A word fitly spoken is like in pitchers of silver. Be swift to hear, slow to speak, and slow to wrath. You know what follows bitterness, wrath, anger, clamor? Evil speaking. And then it develops into malice. That's evil intent. And be ye kind. A proverb, if you read your Proverbs, you're going to hit this verse at least once a month, because there's 31 Proverbs, right? Commit thy works, what you do, unto the Lord, and thoughts will be established. So if you get rid of the bitterness, the wrath, the anger, the clamor, the evil speaking, and don't give it chance, and you choose to be, that's a, your works, be kind, and then choosing to show love to that person, that's the hard part, because it makes you vulnerable, isn't it? It makes you vulnerable to be tender-hearted, forgiving one another, even as God for Christ's sake hath forgiven you. Last passage we're going to look at, turn to 1 John chapter 1. You know why 1 John chapter 1 is important? Because as you endeavor to do those things and the Holy Spirit's working in you, sometimes you fail because you start doing it in the flesh and not letting the Holy Spirit have this control, okay? 1 John 1. This then is the message which ye have heard of him and declare unto you, that God is light, and in him is no darkness at all. If we say we have fellowship with him, with who? With God. If we are abiding with him, fellowship, abiding, it's very similar. And walk in darkness, we lie and do not the truth. See, it's what you do. If we walk in the light as he is in the light, we have fellowship one with another, and the blood of Jesus Christ, his Son, cleanses us from all sin. If we say we have no sin, we deceive ourselves, and the truth is not. If we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and cleanse us from all un. If we say that we have not sinned, we make him a liar, and his word, didn't say his spirit, it says his word is not in us. There's a time, because you know, you people fail at this. I was the senior pastor. Kevin Thomas was on the deacon's board, Kevin Sr. Pastor Kinney and I disagreed. I love him. He loves me. Don't attack him to me. Don't attack me to him. We talk, okay? I think we abide pretty well together. But he and I got in a snit over some stupid thing, and I started getting angry, and because I put on my pants the same way you do, one leg at a time, my socks 1 foot at a time. I don't throw them in the air and jump in and dressed, and neither does Caleb. And we both have tempers. And the next thing you know, it's almost like we're going to be bumping heads together. And Kevin was the Holy Spirit in that thing. And he goes, should you be talking to each other that way? Just calm down. Calm down. I looked at him. Caleb looked at him. We had to get something done. But we're hip, two individuals, two personalities. And the voice of someone who loved us both, but knew that our reactions were wrong, just eased that down. The next thing you know, I'm sorry, CJ. Yeah, I'm sorry too, preacher. I shouldn't have said that. No, I shouldn't have said that. You know, he's trying to take the most blame for the thing then. Forgive me, forgive me. I love you, I love you. And then we went on. He probably doesn't remember it. It was right out in that vestibule. It was in a time when something was tough in this church that the church congregation didn't know about, because you don't have to. But the leadership has to take care of something. And CJ and I had to get on the same plane. And one person who loved us both just gave a couple words. Tender-hearted, forgiving one another, even as Christ hath forgiven us. That's part of your growth in having victory. You want the world to say, I want what you have. How do we speak to those closest to us? Can they trust what we say? And do they know that we have their best intention for them? That's the Christian walk. Christ in you, the hope of glory. All God's people said, amen.